self-appointment, which is something that my mentor, Evan Pagan, talks about a lot. He talks about it from a mainly a business perspective, but it's amazingly powerful. This idea that most things that you want to do in life, we feel like we have to wait for somebody to give it to us, but actually the only person that can give it to is you. And it feels risky to appoint yourself to, like, I appoint you, Alex, as good in bed. You know? Like, self-appointment is like, it feels risky because it feels like we're going to be rejected. There's another friend of mine that does boot camps like this, Owen Cook.
Yep.
Yeah. And
he's a brilliant guy.
Yeah, he's a genius. So he does a thing where he takes guys on Melrose and he does a makeover for them before they go out at night. And they find, you know, like some cool clothing and shit. And it's expensive for them. But he takes them to this shop on Melrose. And he got this idea once. He said to a guy who was just dressed like, you know, just a total dork, like just chick repellent all over his body. And he said, yeah, I want to just see how miscalibrated you are. Just take a look at the store. Show me what you think is a cool shirt because you look retarded. The guy walks around the store, says, this one, grabs a shirt, and sure enough, coolest shirt in the store.
Uh-huh.
He said, well, if you knew what the cool shirt was, why weren't you wearing it? And he performed this exercise over and over again, and it was true every time. It's like you actually know what cool is. You actually know what it would be to be to declare yourself sexually powerful. And what prevents you is the same thing that prevents him from wearing the cool shirt, which is, you know, what if I don't get accepted that way? And the funny thing is, that implies that there's some external arbiter of who gets to wear the cool shirt. Who gets to wear the cool shirt? And that external arbiter doesn't exist. That external arbiter is an echo of your own self-doubt coming back at you. And doubt is the natural function of the human brain. That's what it was designed for. It's a survival benefit. Keep you out of danger. Keep you out of danger. So, but it's, of course, not necessary in these circumstances. There is no danger to this anymore.
Say again, doubt is
the natural function of the human brain. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the brain really, from an evolutionary perspective, serves two survival functions and a whole series of get me laid functions. The two survival functions, what most of the horsepower was developed for, was doubt and knowing. And doubts are basically, there's tall grass over there, and I don't smell anything, and I don't hear anything, and I don't see anything through the tall grass. And if you were any other animal alive on the planet today, that'd be good enough. But they run faster than us and have big teeth and claws.
And they're good at hiding.
And right. So we were given another thing. We weren't given teeth and claws. We were given doubt. I don't smell anything, I don't see anything, but fuck, there could be a lion there. There definitely could be a lion there, right? We can imagine what might be wrong. We can imagine what might be wrong. That is literally what the mind was evolved for. And the other thing is knowings. You know, I ate olives once, I don't like them, I never need to eat them again. I know that, right? I approached a girl once and she laughed at me, so I never need to approach a girl again because I know that's not going to go well, like knowings. And every time you know something, you've made your box just a little bit smaller. Everything you know makes your box just a little bit smaller. It takes a conscious effort to make the mind do anything other than doubts and knowings. But that conscious effort can make it do math problems. It wasn't designed to do math problems. There's no survival benefit to math problems. You can force your mind to do math problems. And you can force your imagination for doubt, which is what it was built for, to, you know, write books or movies or do anything creative, right? But none of those doubts or knowings are real. None of them. And I would argue that, you know, this idea of a limiting belief? All beliefs are limiting. All of them. Right? As soon as you believe something, that limits you. Because now, you know, it's made the world, like I said, everything you know makes the world a little smaller. And doubts are nothing but excuses for living as less than. So, you know, this survival function of the mind tortures us now in our current state. So, you know, The thing with the cool shirt is the only person telling you that you don't deserve to wear the cool shirt is your, it's an echo of your self-doubt coming back at you. And it's the same thing with this. It's exactly the same. I mean, you know, nobody, not me, not Josh, not your mom, nobody can appoint you to being sexually powerful but you. And once you make the decision that I'm sexually powerful, there's no external arbiter who's going to say otherwise. It's you. It's you. You own it, period. Or you don't own it, period. But to own it is a process of beating the crap out of your own self-doubt, and that's a hard fight. That's a hard fight because it's wired in you. It's hardwired. But it's a, you know, the best fight you can fight in life.
It's cunning, too.
Oh, it's so fucking cunning.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it comes up with all these reasons why it's actually real.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very, very reasonable. I encourage you to never be reasonable. Never be reasonable or sincere. Those are two disgusting things to be.
All right.
And in this case, what I mean by sincere is that that tone and personality that you project in order to be perceived as authentic.
Right.
Yeah. Burn it out of you.
I miss that last sincere thing.
Yeah.
Because sincere, I do connect with
yeah, by the way, it's
authenticity.
Not,
so.
Got it. Got it. But authenticity is the truth of it, and the sincerity is the projection of it. Anytime you're projecting authenticity, you're trying for something.
Okay. Yeah, by definition, it's not authentic because you would just be acting normal.
Yeah.
That's authentic. But if you're trying to project it, you have an outcome. Yeah.
That's okay, yeah. And if you think about the adjective sincere and the adjective authentic, and you picture in your mind who these two people are, you can really smell the difference. This isn't my intellectual property, by the way. I got to give this up to Werner Erhard, who talks about the difference between sincerity and authenticity, and I'm really just paraphrasing him right now. But when I first heard it, I was like, I got it. I was like,
I never thought about that.
I'm so aware of all the times when I was trying to be Mr. Sincere guy with a woman, and she was just like disgusted by me.
Okay, I get you now.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's the intentional projection.
The artificial communication of...
It may even be true, by the way. You may be communicating something true about your authenticity, but it's the trying of it. It's the intentional projection of authenticity, whether the authenticity is there or not. In other words, there are people who are authentically authentic, projecting it out at you, but there's something nauseating about them trying to show you.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's the vast majority of people that aren't particularly authentic, but they really want you to feel like they are. Really.
I feel your pain.
Yeah, really. Yeah, exactly. <Ugh. laughs>
Can you reconcile that with a congruence test?
Can you reconcile that with congruence test?
I mean, so a woman is asking...
No, probably not. I mean, can you use that as an opportunity to be authentic versus sincere?
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. Well,
exactly.
Anything. That's a hard time. That's like saying, can you fight in the middle of a war? Or can you only fight when you're training? Right? That's like saying, yeah, it's going to be difficult, more difficult in that situation because a girl's like insulting you in what seems to be pretty much random, you know?
Right.
So in that moment, to be authentic is going to be a lot more difficult than being sincere because you feel like you just got attacked, you know? So it'll be easier to do it just in general than it will be to do it in that moment. But if you can do it in that moment, then you can do it at any time. You know, you have the ability to do that at any moment, so.
Yeah, when you're sincere with a woman, she will throw a lot of growth opportunities in your direction.
Growth opportunities.
Yeah.
I love that.
She'll spaz out on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially like if you're doing it with a woman in your life. Like I'm not super duper man at like the meeting women thing, but in a relationship, when you're sincere with a woman, you will get a lot of fucking crazy behavior. A lot of crazy behavior. She will school you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She'll do it at her own expense too, because she knows she's not going to
totally.
Be happy if you fall for everything.
Yeah, she's going to start some all kinds of weird fights with you. Just all kinds of weird moodiness that you'll get when you're being sincere. They just doesn't. It's not the man she knows you can be, and so she feels fucking betrayed by you for showing up as less than the man that she knows you can be. Makes them angry, and they don't know why. They couldn't say those words. They can't articulate it. In their bones, they're just really annoyed that you're in the room with them right now. Yeah.